Ephesians chapter 6, let me pray. God, with gratitude, we come as a family. Although many of us in here might feel like strangers to one another, but there's still something beneath that this feels like a safe place. It feels like home. It feels like family. And that happens wherever your spirit is when believers rally together. And so we are grateful for this evening. And God, as we read your word, as we study the words that were penned by man but breathed by your spirit, would they jump off the page or the screen and grip our hearts and minds? Would they be the things that lead us in how we live as we go from here? So Holy Spirit, would you do as you do? Would you convict us in areas of our lives where conviction is needed, that we would repent and just experience life and freedom, please? In the areas of our lives where comfort is needed, Holy Spirit, through your word, would you provide deep, deep comfort? We worship you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. It's probably a nightmare that many of you guys have had before. I know we're in the summer. I know some of you are students, college students, maybe even some high school students here, or you've been a student before. But have any of you guys ever had the dream where, like, you're about to start school and you just are not prepared for the first day of school? Show of hands, anyone? Usually, let's be honest, usually you're naked in the hallway somewhere trying to get your locker open and it's jammed shut and you can't. No, you never had that? That's just me? When I was a young lad, I was in a small group this week and we were talking about the schools we went to, high schools, transitions from junior high. My junior high class, I think it was a graduating class of 13 or 14 people, maybe, Amber, about that. And then I went to a school with, like, automatically the incoming freshman class was like 350, 400 students. So it was a little bit of a transition for myself and others. And I remember in junior high, we never had lockers or anything like that. And our books were provided in the classroom that we went to, or we just lugged a huge backpack and are paying chiropractor bills to this day. But we didn't have lockers. So for me, going into high school, locker was kind of a scary thing. I didn't know how to prepare for that. I didn't know how to plan for that. I, like, you know, you get your lock and do you guys have lockers? Is this even relevant to today? Does anyone have lockers? Show of hands in high school. Do you have lockers? And maybe. Anyways, I would have nightmares about not being prepared, about not being able to get that locker open because I don't know why all the dreams are naked, but you're naked in the hallway and classes, the bell's about to ring, the halls are about to empty, and you're like trying to get in your locker because your clothes are in there, your homework's in there, everything you need is in there and you can't do it, and you come out and you just feel like a complete failure in that moment. There are nightmares that we have, right, about preparing for things, planning for things. I don't know who can have credit for this idea or this quote, but failing to prepare is preparing to fail. Failure to prepare is preparing for failure. There are many things in our lives that we need to be prepared for. We do the best we can on our end with the strength we have, the knowledge we have to prepare. And at the end of the day, quite honestly, we're still going to feel unprepared. Whether it's getting married or getting into a dating relationship, whether it's having kids or a new job, you just never fully feel prepared. And it's nightmares. It can keep us up at night. Just as that idea can be applied to many practical areas of our lives, I think it can be applied to our walk with Christ and our life today. You know, many people say that walking with Jesus, to follow Jesus, is more than like a battleground than it is a playground. And I would say in some cases that is the case. But let me just preface this at the beginning before we dive into this. This is my prayer is that as we cover some of these scriptures, I'll tell you what they're about in a second, but my prayer is that as we cover some of these scriptures, you will be more inspired and encouraged in your walk with Jesus than you will be filled with fear. And I'll tell you right now, the enemy wants to fill you with fear. I'll tell you right now, he wants to distract you. He wants to tell you you're not prepared. And I'm going to tell you, as a brother in Christ, because I love you, some of you aren't prepared. But my hope and my prayer is that as we cover some of the texts this evening, that you will walk away more prepared than you ever were before you came in here. Okay? So we've been walking through the book of Ephesians, and what we're going to talk about is the battlegrounds of life right now. And Paul is going to prepare the believers for how to do life, how to walk when you face battles. Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, we've broken it down like this. The first three chapters are about God's will. It's doctrine. It's theology. It's this is who God is. This is who we are in Christ. This is what Christ does for us and in us and through us once we follow God, right? The next three chapters, chapters 4, 5, and 6, the last half of the book. We've talked about it as our life. This is God's will. This is God's desire. Then this is what our life's to look like. Paul's talking about how we are to walk. He uses the words walk, or we could use common language today, live. How we are to live our lives. That we are to live unified as the body of Christ. That we are to live using the gifts and talents that God has given us. That we are to live in community. We are to live in love. We are to live as light because we are light, shedding light on any dark places. That we are to live lives of worship. That we are to live in submission. And then we come to this place in Scripture, this next section, kind of how Paul closes the book. Here he's been saying, walk, 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 walk. And then he's going to come. He's going to talk about how to prepare for battles in life. And the language that he used, we'll read it three times in the first few verses here. He said, no longer is he using the language walk. He uses the word stand. Say stand. He says, stand, hold firm, hold your ground, be strong. Be strong. So we're going to walk through these passages. And my hope is that those of you that feel naked will now feel clothed and recognize how to enter into the battlefields, how to enter the battlegrounds for the cause of Christ, for the sake of the kingdom. Ephesians chapter 6, jump down to verse 10. Say Jesus if you're there. Say hold up if you're still looking for it. Okay, come on, come on. You've had like 7 minutes at least. Ephesians chapter 6, jump down to verse 10. Jesus, I heard another Jesus. Any other Jesuses? Okay, here we go. Here we go. Finally, my brethren, finally, followers of God, finally, my family, right? Be strong in the Lord. This is going to be a theme. It's in the Lord. It's of God. It's to God. Be strong in the Lord. And in the power of your might. Is that what your Bible says? No. In the power of whose might? His might. Capitalized. Speaking of God. Speaking of Jesus. The Holy Spirit. The Trinity. The triune God. In the power of his might. Be strong in the power of his might. Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of who? God. The whole armor of God. You got to hear that. It's not your armor. Right? When we enter into the battlegrounds of life, it's not the armor of Nathan that's going to get me through this. It's not the armor of insert your name here. It's not the armor of insert the most influential spiritual leader in your life. No, no, no. It's the armor of God. It's the armor of God. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand, there's that word, against the wiles or the schemings or the craftiness, right, of the enemy, of the devil. Verse 12, this is huge, and this might be new for some of you, and I hope we recognize the truth of this, whether it's new or old news, but verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Verse 13, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand, to face, to withstand with courage. Paul is saying, this is what we can take away from this first section right here. Paul is saying, listen, we live in a spiritual realm. We live in a spiritual realm. And I think this might be new for some of us. We might believe this, but we don't know how to put this into practice. But you need to know that our battles in life are not with people, but with darkness. People are not the enemy. People are the mission. You hear what I'm saying? People are not our enemies. People are the mission. People may be used of the enemy. people may be influenced by the enemy, but they themselves are not our enemy. They are the mission. We need to recognize that. We need to recognize that. Once we believe that, that's going to change the way we interact with people. Once we recognize we live in a spiritual realm and he or she is not my enemy, that's going to change the way we pray about the situation and the circumstance. Hopefully, we're going to approach it no longer praying, God, would you kill that person? But God, would you restore that person and I's relationship, right? Someone say amen. Are you guys still praying the killing prayers? No, okay, let's pray prayers of life, all right? Listen, people are not the enemy. People are the mission. Too often, I think we find ourselves in struggles with one another, with flesh and blood, and we can find ourselves wasting our time fighting the wrong enemy with the wrong weapons. We are not to be fighting people. We are fighting against darkness. But I also, we have to be honest, I think people do hurt us, right? People do seem to persecute us. People do seem to kill us. And when I say us, I'm talking about the family of God. But they are not our enemy. They might be tools of the enemy or used of the enemy, but they are not the enemy. You could name any cult or like crazy fanatic religious cult. They are not the enemy. The strength that we need to fight these battles can only be found in the Lord. And the preparation that Paul is going to instruct us in to use is just that it's all found in the Lord. As we walk and live the way that Paul's going to guide us here, it should draw us into the strength of the Lord. It should draw us to our knees to recognize who fights our battles. And strength in the Lord is not directly tied or related to years following God. There may be some people within the sound of my voice, whether in this room or listening to this recording, where you've been following the Lord for 50 plus years, but you don't feel really strong in following the Lord. And there may be people within the sound of my voice or listening to this recording who may just started following God last week, but your strength in God is magnificent. Strength in God is not determined by length of days, but by the depth of trust in God, by the depth of faith in God. I've met people who have been following God for more years than I've been alive, whose depth of trust is like baby pool level. And I've known people who've been following God for a month, and it's like ocean deep trust. There's the strength that they have in God is magnificent. So the strength in God is not determined necessarily by our length of days, but by the depth of our trust, our faith in God. But hopefully, if we've been following God for any length of time, our strength in him is magnificent. Our strength in him is powerful. Our strength in him is something to be feared by darkness. And it has to be your strength. Your faith, your trust, sorry, not your strength, your faith, your trust in God, not the faith and trust of someone else's relationship with God, but your relationship with God. There's this story, I don't think I have time to turn to it, but it's in Acts 19. You can read about it later. Let me skip to it real quick. I will read it. I'm just going to jam through it real quick. The reason I'm going to read it is because I think it speaks to this point that it has to be your faith in God, your trust in God, not someone else's. But also, contextually, this is a story that took place in Ephesus, the very people that Paul's writing this letter to. So this is what happened. Listen with your ears. You could turn there if you want. Acts 19, I'm going to read verses 11 through 20, but I think it's just fun and interesting. Now, God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, the same guy that wrote this letter, Ephesians, verse 12, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Whether you're charismatic or not, I don't know what you want to do with that, but something happened. God was moving in an usual way through this man of God, Paul, because he had surrendered all to God. Handkerchiefs, were being sent to people, and they'd touch it, and they were healed. I don't know what you do with that, but it's in the word, okay? Verse 13. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches." These guys want to heal some people, and they see what Paul's doing. They say, "You know what? We say be healed by that guy that Paul's talking about. Do it, right?" If you're trying to fight battles out of your own power or the power of someone else's faith or trust in God, you're going to fall short. This is what happened. Verse 14. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest who did so. These sons did this. And the evil spirit, the very spirit that they were trying to cast out, began to talk. That's like some Stephen King something, right? So this evil spirit talks. Verse 15. The evil spirit answered and said, "Listen, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? What authority do you have? I never heard of you." These spirits are talking, right? Verse 16, then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. This became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, this very city that we were talking about, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. God used this, though. And many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Mass revival is about to break out here. Verse 19, also many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all, said, "I want nothing to do with darkness." And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. Again, when we begin to walk as God has called us to walk and we enter the battlegrounds, it's very important that it's our faith, our trust in God as we move forward. That we come to a point in our lives where we recognize Jesus is someone I will live and die for. Not just my grandma, not just my church, not just the school I went to, not just blah, blah, but he is mine. He is my God. We could scream out, "Oh my God," as the scriptures call out, "My God, possessive mine." So Paul is about to describe what he calls the armor of God. And there's no doubt in my mind or any other historian's mind that what Paul is referring to, he's going to illustrate this armor of God, but his point of reference would be a Roman soldier. Can you put that up, Brendan? So as Paul is about to talk about the armor of God, this would be someone, I didn't get this from Paul's day, they didn't have photography and color and that sort of thing. But this is probably what's in Paul's mind. So as we begin to talk about some of these pieces, you could picture some of these things, okay? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. Let's just take them one at a time and talk simply about them, okay? First thing Paul leads with, verse 14, he says, stand. Stand, right? Hold your ground, right? Withstand, with courage. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth. With truth. Now, at first take, I used to be so confused by this because if I'm thinking I'm about to go fight a battle, like the last thing, I don't even know if this is gonna, like the last thing I want to do is don't come near me, right? Like what do you do with a belt? I mean, you could spank someone with it, but I'm not going to get so far in killing people or advancing my, right? The belt, really? Like that's not very intimidating. Why do we need the belt of truth? Check this out. The belt is the first thing a Roman soldier would put on. And as you can tell by this picture, there's a few things that are interesting about this, and then I'll jump to the spiritual application. But the belt would hold a lot of those things that are guarding the loins of this particular gentleman, protect the private parts, but would also hold up the breastplate. The first thing I want to say about this belt, I believe you guys are pretty mature, but I think when the belt is removed or when truth is removed, the belt holds to protect the area of the soldier that would reproduce, that would procreate. When truth is removed, we are left embarrassed. We are left naked and vulnerable to never reproduce again. And if we go into battle without truth leading us, there may be an opportunity for the enemy to cause us, to lead us into a place where we can never reproduce life for the kingdom. It's so important that as we approach battles or spiritual warfare, the different things that come in our lives, I think all too often we encounter hardship and we begin to freak out and operate in fear and start thinking, what if? What if? What if this happens? What if that happens? What if they do this? What if that goes that way or this goes that way? And you know what? I think we need to stop operating or leading with what ifs, and we need to start walking and leading with what is, with truth. Ditch the what ifs and start with the what is. Start with the belt of truth. What is true? I am a child of God. Victory is His. It's already His. I'm just walking into it. There's nothing He can do that could take away my relationship with the Father. I am a child of God walking with truth. Jesus says, right? I am the way, the what? Truth and the life. You want to know how to navigate the hardships in your life, the trials, the battles in your life? Just follow behind Jesus. Let Him lead. Let Him lead. He'll navigate beautifully. Victory is ours. This belt would also hold up the breastplate of righteousness. Look at this, the second half of verse 14. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness is what Paul says. So we've got the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. And practically speaking, the breastplate protects the lungs, right? The heart, the very, very life source for breath. And in relation to righteousness, well, this soldier and you as a follower of Jesus, you have the right to take off that breastplate if you want. You have that right. But don't you know, y'all know when you watch those war movies and they're like in the middle of the war field and some numbskull thinks, oh, it's clear, everything's good. They start taking their stuff. Don't you know that's the guy that's going next? That's the guy that's out. You have the right to do it, but if you do that, you're leaving yourself exposed for the enemy. Righteousness is a decision that we make and a work that God does, but as we choose to walk in holiness, as we choose to walk sanctified, as we choose to walk in His righteousness, there is a protection on our life unlike any other. Now listen, walking in righteousness does not mean you will be void of battles or of any like hits in the chest. But what it does mean is as you wear that breastplate of righteousness, what that means for me is I can take a hit and I can still breathe. I have breath even in the midst of the battle. Without that breastplate, I take a hit, I'm done breathing. Paul says we are to gird ourselves with the belt of truth. And it's that truth that holds up this breastplate of righteousness that protects us. And as we live holy, sanctified, righteous lives before the Father, I'm telling you, that's going to give you air like you've never breathed before. It's going to allow you to endure a battle with greater perseverance, with greater breath than ever before. Verse 15, he would go on to say, you've got this belt of truth, you've got this breastplate of righteousness, and he says, having shod your feet. Anyone use that word recently, shod? Anyone, any user, big literary buff? No? Okay. Having shod, having put on, having tied, having bound your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. This idea, these sandals that these Roman soldiers would wear, some would suggest, some historians believe they might have been closer to cleats, less like rainbow sandals where you're sliding all over the place, but more like cleats with spikes on the bottom so that you could take ground, you can gain ground, you could hold your ground. Remember, Paul already has used the word three times, stand, 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 that you might withstand, stand, right? It's very hard to stand or hold your ground and fight without peace. We must stand firm in the peace that we have in Christ. He says, you're to put this on. You're to lace this up, lace this onto your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Follower of Jesus, let me tell you, we should always be prepared to share the gospel of peace with anyone that we may encounter. We should always be prepared. We should always have our sandals laced up and ready to run. Peter would write it this way in 1 Peter 3, verse 15. We'll put it up on the screen here. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, set him apart, right? That whole righteousness idea, concept, and always be ready. Always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Always be ready. My grandfather passed away about 3 years ago now, and I remember sitting with him once, and he had started a school of theology in Southern California some years ago, but I remember I loved trying to learn from him as much as I could, and he's just a great man of God and a great leader, and I remember him saying something along the lines of always be ready to preach to his students. And so I asked him one day, and I said, Pop, didn't you used to say, can you remind me of what you would tell your students, always be ready to preach? Always be ready to preach. And like, he like finished my sentence. I said, always be ready to preach. And he says, and pray and die. And just sits there very stoic. Now my grandpa at the time, he was battling some Alzheimer's and stuff, but I very much believe this is what he used to tell his students. Always be ready to preach, pray, and die. Let me tell you, as a follower of Christ, this should be us too. Whether you consider yourself a pastor or not, you should always be ready to give a defense for the reason of the hope that lies within you. You should always be ready to preach who you are, how you've come to know Jesus, and why Jesus is everything. Always be ready to preach. We should always be ready to pray. I've yet to read in the scriptures where it talks about gifts and talents and say, for those of you that have a gift of praying, pray. For those of you that don't, sucks for you. No. We all can pray. We can all communicate. Always be ready to preach, pray. And as a follower of Christ, I'm ready. Whenever you want me, God, whenever you pull my ticket, I trust your plan is better than mine. You're going to take care of my family, my friend. It's going to be okay. I'm ready. Whenever you're ready, I'm ready. We should always be ready. We should always have peace. Look at this. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7 reads this way. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. How many of you here, by show of hands, how many of you here have encountered the battlegrounds of life in the spiritual realm, but have had your feet bound with peace? You walk with this peace that surpasses all understanding. Show of hands, raise them high. So some of y'all around here who haven't experienced that, look at the hands up and ask them, how did that happen? What did God do in your life? If you could verbalize it, well, how did that work? Paul says, listen, belt of truth, important. We should always lead with truth when we have to battle. Breastplate of righteousness. The cleats, if you will, the boots of peace. You should have peace with every step that you take. You're going to need peace to hold your ground. Verse 16, he says, above all, taking the shield of faith, say faith. Faith. With which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. A shield of faith. Can you put that back up, Brandon, the Roman soldier? I think this shield of faith is important for ourselves individually and ourselves as a family of God. I don't know about you, but I've encountered some battles spiritually. They might take shape in some physical stuff, but I know deep down it's just the enemy trying to rob me and eat at me, my friends, my family, my community. And I've battled those things long enough to where physically, if we're going to use this shield illustration, physically, I just feel so tired to even hold up a shield of faith. I have faith. I trust God, but I am exhausted and I can't even see how he's going to do this, how we're going to hold the ground or take the ground. I don't know how it's going to happen. I just feel exhausted. Has anyone ever felt that way? Exhausted in a spiritual battle? And here you're to hold this shield of faith? remember praying about this some years ago, and I was just trying to make some sense of what I was encountering in my life. And then, of course, the Holy Spirit's like, dude, it's a battle you're in, bro. Wake up. I don't know if the Holy Spirit talks like that to you, but he's kind of a West Coast kid in my mind. But he said, listen, you're in a battle. I'm like, okay, where's the Bible talk about that? Battle, Ephesians 6, okay. Start reading, like, oh, man, I don't even know if I have enough faith to hold the shield up. Started doing some research, and I came to find out, and it continues to speak to me. I pray the Holy Spirit encourages you. But these shields that this particular soldier is holding, some of them were equipped with hooks on either side. And these shields would be able to lock up with the army. And they would be able to move forward together in battle. Adam, Brian, can I get you guys up here? I want to illustrate this a little bit. I think you guys get the point, but maybe this will help. I don't know. Did you not get it? Yeah. Okay. You got it. Okay. So we would be in battle together, right? If we're going to hold our ground, or we're going to take our ground, right? And there are times, absolutely, I think we are to stand, but we're also to take ground. We never retreat. We're to take ground. So there are times in moving forward in restoration, wanting to see God do something, I am exhausted. I can't even hold my shield up, right? But if I'm in community with other soldiers, with other brothers and sisters in Christ, submitted to one another. We talked about it last week. Check the podcast, right? Submitted to one another. And we hold up our shields together. Hold your shield with me. It's great. You got a great shield. Yours is great. Yours is a little too clean. Let's get that dirty. Okay. So we hold up our shields, right? If I can properly, this is my concept. This is, I don't know if this is Bible. You can discern if it's Holy Spirit. Okay. Hold it up. If we all lock our shields together, And just out of exhaustion, my brothers in Christ say, Nathan, we have faith for you in this situation. And my shield is up to protect me, and they're locked in to help protect me. We could still move forward. Go ahead and take a few steps. And I'm not holding the shield, but I'm still moving forward. And it's not like they're taking my faith for me, but they are using their faith to encourage me to continue to take steps forward. Thank you, guys. You guys can sit down. You guys thank them? That's good. All right. There are formation. Battles aren't to be fought alone. Battles are not to be fought alone. They're to be fought in community, family, moving together. Can you put up that formation, Brendan? This would be an example of what a battle formation could look like in taking ground. It'd be pretty hard to pierce through that. I mean, I would volunteer for the guy in the middle of the group. I don't know about the end. But regardless, there's a family moving forward. There's a community moving forward, interlocked, shield and shield together, saying, we're going to pursue victory. Paul's saying, listen, you're to hold the shield of faith because there will come darts. Just because you have the armor on doesn't mean the enemy is going to back off. When you have the armor, you're to use the armor. You're to stand strong. You're to move forward. In community, as family. He says in verse 17, he says, you're to take the helmet of salvation. Now, I don't know about you, but most often in my life, more often than not, the battles are lost by giving in to the lies. Right? It's the battle of the mind most often over anything, that we begin to experience some conflict, we begin to experience some pushback, regardless of the circumstance, and as that happens, we start listening to the lies of the enemy. God doesn't really love you. God doesn't really care about restoration. You're a horrible follower of Jesus. You can't even pray good. That's not a gift. You don't have that, right? Whatever it is. Paul's saying, listen, you got to protect that. Put that helmet of salvation on. Fight with the word of God, the truth of God. Remember the story of Jesus? Some of you guys might remember this, some of you guys might not, but you can read about it, Matthew 4, Luke 4, Mark chapter 1. Jesus, right after he's baptized publicly, right after he's baptized, God speaks. There's an audible voice that's recorded that God speaks and says, this is my beloved son, right? This is my guy. And then right after that, in all of the recordings, right after that, Jesus goes on a fast, and then he's tempted by the enemy, by Satan. Now, let's just take a minute, just first to acknowledge. Isn't that so interesting? Right after Jesus makes a declaration of who he is and what he stands for, that the enemy starts attacking. Don't be surprised in your life. After those moments you make a stand for Christ, whether it's getting involved in a ministry, whether it's on your campus with your family, your friends, a stranger, a coworker, don't be surprised when those darts start coming. There's no surprise tax in the kingdom. If we're on our guard, if we're communing with God, we're ready. We're ready. So right after this happens, Jesus goes into the desert, he fasts, and the enemy comes to tempt him, right? To battle him. And you know what Jesus fights with? He fights with the word of God. Jesus fights with the word of God. The enemy twists some scriptures and Jesus responds, no, it says this. This is what God's word is. This is the truth. That helmet of salvation, that truth fighting with, if that's good enough for Jesus to fight with, I think that's good enough for us to fight with. Jesus in that moment fought with the word of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit. He fought with the very things you and I have access to this day. Victory is ours. It's back to no longer fighting with, leading with what if, but what is, right? Continue on. He talks about the word of God. Look at this. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's the thing that's going to cut through anything. The sword of the Spirit, the word of God. And listen, it's not your average sword. This is like a sword on steroids. This is what it says in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4, talking about the word of God. Do we have that one? Hebrews chapter 4, Bible in the sky. Here it goes. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. This is not your average sword. This is like one of those Ginzu infomercial knife swords. You guys ever seen those? We're kind of like a Hulu generation. We cut through infomercials. And there's like a day where there are these things called infomercials. They're on TV, like cable and antenna stuff. And they come on in the middle of the night. And it's like these knives that cut through shoes and pennies. And you're like, I totally need a knife that cuts through a shoe. And you buy it because it's late at night. This is like one of those, like beyond those types of knives. The word of God is sharper than anything you would ever handle. Paul says, this is the weapon we use to fight. Again, if the word of God is good enough for Jesus, man, it better be good enough for us. It better be. This is so important. This is why we rally to the word of God. Why we desire to inspire a generation to live lives of obedience to the word of God, to study the word of God. And then he would close. I don't know. Some people may not include this as part of the armor of God, but I'm going to say this might be one of, you might be able to add this to the armor of God, but one of the most powerful weapons that we can have. Look with me in verse 18, and we'll start to wrap it up here. But Paul lists these things, right? Belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, right? Sandals, boots, cleats of peace. Shield of faith, helmet of salvation, the sword, the word of God. And then he says this, verse 18, praying always. Praying always, meaning continual communication with God. Praying always with all prayer, all types of prayer. There are several types of prayer, right? Petitions, thanksgiving, intercessions. He says, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. You know where most battles are won? On our knees. On our knees. Because it's on our knees, or prayerfully before we drop to our knees, that we recognize that this battle we're fighting is not against people, but against darkness. And the armor of God might be there to protect us, to keep us in line so we can hold our ground, so we can advance, but reality, it's on our knees where God releases his power and the enemy is defeated and crushed and the road is made clear and we're able to walk through it. Paul says, praying always. Always communicating with God. And I'll let you in on another little secret. If you're praying always, and I mean you're just constantly aware of the Spirit of God and talking with Him about your day, if you're always praying, you'll never be surprised by an attack and you'll always be ready. Always be ready. Rarely am I surprised by some of the things that happen to me or my family or those that I'm in community with, like hurt, burdened, wondering, God, how are we going to do this? But rarely am I surprised because I know the commitments I've made, the commitments my family has made, the commitments these people, friends, family have made for Christ. So I know my armor's on. I'm ready. I'm always ready. Now, some of us, I believe, have put the armor on without even knowing it. We just operate it. This is just like we read this, and it's like, oh yeah, totally. That's, oh good. This kind of puts words to just the way I live life and how I do and how God leads me. Some of us don't have the armor on and we don't know how to put it on. And some of us are just naked and it's our worst nightmare and we just realize we're naked and wondering how to put it on. So this is what I want to do. I want to invite my friend Dwelly up. And Dwelly's an awesome man of God and I love him dearly. And the reason I'm inviting Dwelly up because I want to give you maybe a way of putting armor, maybe a practice or a discipline that could help you in putting this on. I know for some of us, to verbalize something helps realign our hearts and our minds, right? Am I right? Anyone? Amen? Yeah? And so this is Dwelly.
Hello.
Good. He's breathing. That's good. He's got his breastplate on. He can breathe. So this is Dwelly. But before Dwelly... Can you not see? Are you okay?
Yeah.
You that old? Come on. Hang with me. So this is Dwelly, but Dwelly, how long have you been following Jesus? Before he gets in there, how long have you been following Jesus?
About 16 years.
16 years. What were you doing before you were following Jesus?
Whatever I wanted.
Whatever you wanted.
The drug story. Did drugs, went to prison, got saved. I got saved. Went back out in the world, was doing drugs again, went to prison and got out and started following the Lord again.
But sober,
in the
pursuing
fullness,
Christ.
Fullness of power.
So this is why I have Dwelly up here, okay? A number of weeks ago, I don't even know if you remember this story, Dwelly, but we were passing each other in the halls. Dwelly's on staff. He helps take care of a lot of our grounds, our maintenance, and then also some pastoral care ministry. And I just asked Dwelly just to start a conversation. Hey, man, how's your day going? And maybe I asked you, did you get to the gym this morning or something? How you doing? And you said, yeah, I'm doing great. I got to the gym, got my workout on, got my armor on, I'm ready. And it's like, oh, great. Just like, cool, awesome, see ya. And then I got this week, and I'm praying, reading through the scripture, I'm like, what did Dwelly mean by when he said, I got my armor on? Like, what does that look like? And so, Dwelly, would you share with them what you told me you do this every day?
Every morning.
So this is like a practice or a discipline in applying these scriptures, right?
Yes.
Okay, so would you walk us through, and I hope this helps some of you out here, would you walk us, he's sitting down because...
This is my bed.
He does this on the edge of the bed every morning. Every morning, all right?
Okay, so sometimes I'm on Market Street when I'm on the way to the gym and I forget, I forgot to put my armor on, so I do it at the stop sign. But anyways, so...
Can I sit on your bed with you? Is that okay? Or are you just... Yeah, I'll scoot over. There you go.
You're
That's
fine.
Okay.
So I learned this practice from VMTC, Victorious Ministries Through Christ, and... They taught it to us as holding our victory.
Let me give a quick plug real quick. So Victorious Ministries Through Christ, it's a healing ministry, a prayer ministry, and we'll have some sessions available at the end of September if some of you guys are interested in that, and just people praying over you, intercession, walking through some deep healing opportunities. So late September, but go ahead.
Okay, so pretty much what I do is... So I just I put the helmet of salvation on, and Father, I put the helmet of salvation on. I thank you that my mind can be renewed by the power of Jesus, by the Holy Spirit. Father, I put the breastplate on that I can come before you clothed in your righteousness. Thank you that you made the way that I could come before you. I put the girdle of truth on, the belt of truth, so that my words and deeds will be motivated by the truthfulness of your word. Thank you, Father, that you give that to me. I shod my feet, shod
there you
my
go.
Feet
he
with the gospel of peace, so I can have balance in battle and the peace of God will sustain me. I thank you for that. I take the shield of faith so I can hide behind the barrage of enemy arrows because you are 100% trustworthy. I take the sword of the Spirit, which is my offense and defensive weapon, so I can counter the lies of Satan with the truthfulness of God's word. And then I add, the cross goes before me as the banner of the depth of your great love for me by the sacrificial death of Jesus on the cross. And then I wrap myself in the mantle of praise, power and presence of Almighty God. It's just something that I do. There's something about it that just brings me a moment of peace, like a little bit of, I feel connected. Mm-hmm. So I go through that every morning.
And you have it in your calendar, right? You got an alarm. I saw your phone earlier.
It's on my phone.
Tell him.
So when I first was doing it, I try to wake up around 6 o'clock. I programmed it in my calendar every day. Armor of God. Put on your armor. I don't really need it no more, but so I just do it every day. And it's just the way that I start my morning.
Would you share with them, what would you tell me about the key to the armor?
Oh, so in VMTC, after you go through a prayer session, you need to be filled up with something, and you need to put your armor on. You need to be protected. And so what we do in there is that whoever's doing it, we put the helmet on, but with the helmet of salvation, the key is on the inside of the helmet. So the way that the guy explained it to me, he was got up in the morning, and his grandson or son was out watching cartoons or whatever it was, and he said, "Hey, what are you doing?" And he said, "Don't worry about it, Dad. I got my armor on." So putting the armor on doesn't mean, like, you know, I don't go out and go to bars or whatever. I don't know, whatever. But I said this to Rick one time, Pastor Rick. I said, "Man, I put my armor on, but I just don't." We have to appropriate it. We have to use it, right? So, you know, like he was saying about Jesus, we counter Satan's lies with the truthfulness of God's word. You got to know the word, right? And then, so sometimes what I do is I also ask that the gifts of the Spirit would be available to me throughout the day, and that the fruit of the Spirit would overflow out of my life. So I'll be walking during the day, and somebody will aggravate me, and I'll have a reaction, and immediately the Holy Spirit brings it to mind. Oh, yeah, that's not fruit. That's not love. That's not joy. You know what I mean? So I don't know. It works for me. It's just something I do. I'm one of those type of people that, you know, like, oh, I got to spend a lot of time in prayer. But and there'll be those mornings that I wake up and I'm like, oh, thank you, Father, for today. And I immediately go to my list. Hmm. And I'm like, oh, forgive me. So I use this to spend time with the Father. Mm-hmm. And just add things to it. Sometimes it's quick. You know, sometimes like, man, I got to go. I got to work. I'm late for work. You know, I'm late to come. You know, I work here.
We got that on record now that you're late to work. So I don't know.
Anyway, sorry.
We'll delete that out of the podcast or something.
But even that morning that he came in, Friday morning, and asked me to do it, I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. I haven't done it yet. And then so it was like a perfect opportunity for me to share with him how it worked out.
Awesome. What'd you guys think, Dwelly? Thanks, Dwelly. The key is on the inside. I believe that prayer is the activator. Right, it's constant communication with God, communion with the Father, that we recognize that the armor is on. And we have the choice of whether or not we want to take that off and expose ourselves to the enemy. Failing to prepare is preparing for failure. My question is, are you prepared? And I hope that's not motivated by fear, but are you prepared? As a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, are you prepared? Are you in communication with God? Are you leading things with truth? You know, you might say, I got the helmet of salvation on. God's going to bring me the word. Well, he can't bring you the word. He can't bring the word to your mind if you haven't buried it deep into your heart. Are you prepared? The victory is ours. This is what 1 John says. And John writes this, follower of Jesus. He says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." As followers of Jesus, the victory is ours. It's already ours. And because I love you, and I don't know if there are some here like this, but I would ask you, after reading something like this, is God in you? Maybe you're here tonight and you're hearing about this and you've come to recognize, man, yeah, there's something else going on in this world that's out of touch. Can't explain it. I'm encountering battles every day. Does the living God live within you? That you might overcome, that you might have victory, that you might be restored. If he doesn't, I would encourage you to simply talk to him. The church might use words like prayer, to pray to God. This, the Bible says that if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is God, then you are saved. Then you are saved. This belief is a trust. It's a faith. It's a recognition that I'm no longer king and God of my life, but Jesus, the Son of God, you are God of my life. You are king of my life. And so I would encourage you to pray. And I don't know what that prayer might be. There's no record of, like, this is the thing you pray to wrap up salvation and eternity and a relationship with God. But I would lead you maybe in something like this. I would pray, if this is you, I would pray, God, forgive me. Forgive me of being God of my own life. From this day forward, you are God of my life. Teach me and show me who you are and who you've created me to be. Amen. And from this day forward, I would encourage you to, you can talk with me or other, find believers, find a Bible, start reading of this Jesus, that you would come to know him more fully. You would grasp his love, not only for you, but those around you. And the purpose that you have in God. We're going to close our evening in song. And I'm going to ask our prayer teams to be available. We'll have a couple prayer teams, one to my right and one to my left against the wall. And if you're here this evening and there are things that you're battling, things that you're going through, maybe it's not even related to some of the text tonight, but you just want to be prayed with. You want to be reminded that you're not alone. You want to be spoken to by God. Would you, you're free to make your way to these prayer teams. But let's close in worship and song and declaration of how much we are in need of God. It is the armor of God. It is his mighty power, not our own. Father, receive from us our worship as we close our time together as a family. Speak to us, Holy Spirit, through this time. Forgive us of fighting in our own strength. Forgive us of trying to think we could do it on our own. Equip us once again, Holy Spirit. Amen.